May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pure and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, our rock and our salvation. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is the last sermon in our sermon series dealing with the triune God, a sermon series that began with just a simple look at the cornerstone of the church, which says, quote, erected to the glory of God. That begs the question, what God? And that is a question that calls for sound doctrine, a word that most people don't like to hear nowadays, this concept of doctrine or a statement of beliefs. That led us to what was going on in the third century. There was all sorts of inroads trying to be made into the Christian church by Gnostics and Universalists and Rationalists. And so the church, because they didn't have printing presses, they weren't able to just give everybody a Bible and say, here's your Bible, read it, follow it. They took the core of the Bible and they summed it up in the creeds. And the Nicene Creed is the one that was done in the year 325 AD by the Council of Nicaea. And it broke the Christian faith into three parts. The first article dealing with God the Father, the second with God the Son, and the third with God the Holy Spirit. So in our first week, we looked at God the Father. And putting him in the context of today's wording, he's all that, and everything else too. We took a look at the different names of God. Everything from Elkanah, God, the jealous one. And again, not jealous like we think of jealousy. I'm jealous that this person got a new car, or I'm jealous that this person has a bigger house. No, jealousy is not willing to let go. It's a term that was used in Hebrew marriages for the love of a husband for his wife. He was jealous of her. In other words, he wasn't going to share her. And if someone came to a guy and said, hey, I really like your wife, would you share her with me? Most likely the jealous husband would share a, you know, one-handed greeting with them, shall we say. It was jealous. That's my wife. I'm jealous of her. I hold her. She is mine. And that's this image of God. He looks at us and he says, you are mine and I hold you. We saw Yahweh. I am. I am what? I am God. I'm everything. All the different names of God. If we try to just take God and sum him up in one word, it's a disservice. We have to look at it all and realize he's all that. Then, like the guys at that Council of Nicaea did, they realized he's even more, so they put that phrase in there. Creator of heaven and of earth and of all things visible and invisible. Because there's stuff that God's done we just don't even know of. So we better put invisible in there. That's God the Father. Last week we looked at God the Son, the one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one Lord. There's only one Savior. It is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who proceeds from the throne of God because he is God. And he came and he allowed himself to be confined to the body of a baby and laid in a manger, allowed himself to be chased about by humans, allowed himself to be arrested by us, allowed himself to be killed by us so that he could pay the price of our sin, so that he could rise on the third day and defeat sin, death, and the devil, and ascend into heaven where he sits at God's right hand, and we await his coming back to take us to be with him. That's why there's one Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one who has done that. And salvation is found only in him. Today, we go to the Holy Spirit. The Nicene Creed reads like this. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Well, let's break that down. I believe in the Holy Spirit. That theme of oneness. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. It's singular. There is only one Holy Spirit. The oneness theme continues. The Lord, that means master, and giver of life. Well, now how is the Holy Spirit the Lord of life? Well, if we look at John 3, verse 5, Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So we must be born of the Spirit, the water and the Spirit. So this new life begins with the Holy Spirit. He's the Lord of life. Again, we look at John 6:63, and Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life." Now listen to these next words of Jesus. I love these. "The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." So where does our real life, our life with God, our eternal life come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. The flesh is no help at all. We can try to do everything we want to earn our way to heaven, and there is no hope of earning your way to heaven. It is only faith in Christ. Where does that faith come from? From the Holy Spirit. He's the one who works faith in our hearts, who builds that faith, who strengthens that faith, who guides and directs us so that we may walk in God's ways. Not to earn merit, but to bring glory to God. So we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. Again, biblical references. Exodus 31, verse 3, God says, quote, "I have filled him," that is man, "with the Spirit of God." Where do we get the Spirit? God the Father gives him to us. Jesus says in John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So God the Father sends the Holy Spirit. Creed says, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. Well, when we look at John 20, verse 22, Jesus says, he breathed on them, said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. Luke 24, verse 49, Jesus says, "Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." So the Holy Spirit comes because God sends him. Holy Spirit comes because Jesus sends him. We see tremendous unity. Father and Son together. Spirit, go. Spirit says, got it. I'm going. Again, the analogy is we look to the family project. The family is Trinitarian in nature. You have husband, you have wife. They love their children and their children proceed from them. Children look at mom and dad and say, alrighty. But mom and dad look at children and say, alrighty. They look at each other, alrighty. We love each other. We work together. We are a unit. God is one. Holy Spirit proceeds from Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. Well, when we deal with worship, Psalm 18, verse 3, David says, "I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised." We worship God. We worship God alone. And we glorify God, and we glorify God alone because He's the only one, God the Father, who created us. He's the only one, God the Son, who has redeemed us. And He's the only one, God the Holy Spirit, who sanctifies us, sets us apart. What does the Holy Spirit set us apart for? He sets us apart to teach. He sets us apart to baptize. He sets us apart to worship. John 4, verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. Why are you here today? You might say, because I got up and I said, I think I ought to go to church. No, that's not it. It's the Holy Spirit who said, you ought to get up and go to church. He's constantly working on us. And as we come in the Spirit, we can offer true worship to our Lord because, quote, the flesh is no help at all. In fact, consider this next thing about worship. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. If you come to church saying, I am going to do just a stellar job of worshiping today, I'm just going to really put my mind to doing a stellar job of worship, you're in trouble because you're trusting yourself. But if instead you come to church and you say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit so that my worship may be true and honorable in your sight. Whoa, are you going to worship? Because you will be worshiping in the Spirit. And in the truth of knowing that in and of ourselves, we're a mess. But if God is dwelling within us, He can take us, He can transform us, and He can make us instruments that glorify His name. And so, with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. What else do we know about the Holy Spirit? Who spoke by the prophets. 2 Peter 1 verse 1. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's where we got the Bible from. All Scripture is inspired by God. The Holy Spirit inspired the prophets of old, inspired the apostles and the evangelists to write down the truth of God's Word so that we would have it. Because again, if you look at what the Bible says, that as we come closer and closer to the end, when Christ returns, the hearts of men are going to grow cold. They will no longer listen to the truth. But we still have the truth. And we can hold it in our hands. We can open it. We can read it. We can share it. We have the inspired Word of God. And again, it's an absolute abomination when people take that Bible and then twist it to what they want it to be. Or say that there's stuff in there that isn't there. We stand on God's Word, and we don't take it and change it because, well, you know, society changes, and so the Bible needs to change with society. No. Society needs to stay true to God and follow what God says. He's the Creator. He's the Redeemer. He's the Sanctifier. Which leads us to the Holy Spirit working faith in our hearts, guiding and directing us for worship, for teaching, for baptizing. Well, where is that done? In the church. In the body of Christ. And so that third article continues with the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. First of all, holy means the same thing as sanctified, set apart. One set-apart Christian church. 1 Peter 1, verse 15. But as He, Jesus, who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Colossians 1 verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. There's a reason we say the Holy Christian Church. Because in between holy and church is Christ. And that is the foundation of the church. That is the goal of the church, is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. It is not the holy universal church that it takes everybody in and we try to accommodate everything and we'll make everybody feel good. No. It's the Christian church. And we abide by Christ. But the creed says the holy Christian and apostolic church. What's meant by apostolic? Well, the apostles. What did the apostles do? Well, Jesus sent them out to grow the church. And they were to teach. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them. Now this is one of those things that people really struggle with, this concept of teaching. And the thing that I usually hear is really something atrocious. Oh, I'm just no good. I can't share. I'm no good at teaching. I don't have the words to say. Matthew 10, verse 19. Do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. Will it be given to us? Luke 12, 12. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. The minute that a person says, you know, I can't teach, I can't share because I just don't have the words, that person is saying, and I refuse to let the Holy Spirit work through me. Because Jesus is saying the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Now, I have to put a little proviso there, and I know some of you already know what I'm going to say. It goes back to that John 14, verse 26, where Jesus says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. This is not something where you can say, great, the Holy Spirit's going to make me an awesome teacher. I'm not getting any words. There would be like a voice from heaven possibly that would say, open the Bible and read it so you can remember the words. Do you see how important Bible study is? If you don't study the Bible, is there anything for the Holy Spirit to bring to your remembrance? Well, I had a bowl of Raisin Bran this morning. I remember that. Oh, that won't help with my evangelism. Bible study is critical. The apostles taught and they baptized. Because that's what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples, baptizing. Which then leads us to that very next phrase. I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. It comes from Acts 2, verse 38, where Peter told the people after his Pentecost sermon, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because it's a Christian church, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. We believe in one baptism. It's the baptism that brings the Holy Spirit to the person. It's God's Word connected with that water that performs a miracle. Baptism isn't a man thing. It's a God thing, where God is working a miracle in our lives. I believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. I believe in the resurrection of the dead. John 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Jesus is the resurrection. That's why we're here on a Sunday morning. He rose on a Sunday. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. He's the resurrection. We believe in the resurrection. We believe that when Jesus returns, He's going to come with a shout, a cry of command. I think it's going to be one word. Rise! He's going to modify what He said when He rose Lazarus from the dead. Because with Lazarus from the dead, He said, Lazarus, come out. If He had just said, come out, everybody would have come out. That's how powerful He is. Christ is going to return and say, rise. And we will rise. And we believe the life of the world to come. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. There is hope. There is joy. There is glory, as we heard in the choir anthem. We will always be with the Lord. And how does the Nicene Creed end? Amen. Amen. That means, yes, it is so. It's not saying, I've just said this whole creed. Maybe. Amen is such a powerful affirmative. Yes, it is so. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit is the one who works faith in our hearts. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. That faith comes because of the Holy Spirit's action in our hearts. And that same Holy Spirit binds us, unites us together in the communion of saints, the church, the body of Christ. Do you think Satan is happy with us being here right now? No. So he's going to want to infiltrate the church, and he's, over the years, done a fantastic job of doing it. There will always be people who will get within the church and will hurt the church, give the church a bad name, whatever. We can't worry about that. What we have to worry about, it's not so much worry, what we have to focus on is staying true to the faith the Holy Spirit has called us to. To standing and saying, I believe in one God, in one Lord Jesus Christ, in one Holy Spirit who sanctifies me, sets me apart for service. I believe there's just one baptism. I believe forgiveness of sins comes through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And I believe that Jesus is coming and He's going to take us home. Amen. End of story. And we stand on it. Why? Because it's the truth. And someone very, very great once said, and the truth will set you free. In our Savior's name, amen.